Welcome to another inspirational message from Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message blesses and encourages you.
I want to start with three passages straight from God's Word and then make application for us. We start with Mark chapter 3, starting in verse 13. And Jesus went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach, and remember this, and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges. I've always wanted to say Boanerges, and so I've gotten to say it. That is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Now move to Mark chapter 6. We're going to move very quickly here, but we've got a lot to say in a very short time, but I'll be done in 15 minutes. Set your stopwatches right now. Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. And Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and remember this, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them not to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And remember this. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now we move to chapter 9. This is going to be the largest portion that we look at this evening, but this is where we're going to spend all of our time this evening studying the Word of God, the words of Jesus, what He says, how it applies to our lives. The beginning of chapter 9 is the transfiguration. Those of you who have been in Scripture, you know that, what that is. This is right after the transfiguration. Jesus and Peter, James, and John are coming down off the mountain to rejoin the other nine disciples who did not go up on the mountain. We pick up the narrative in verse 14. And when they came to the other nine disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all of the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, what are you arguing about with him? And someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. And Jesus answered them, O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood, and it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." In this passage, Jesus has given us a keen insight to the connection and the relationship between prayer, faith, and ministry gifts. He speaks, "O faithless generation," in response to the inability of the disciples to do what he gave them the authority to do. Had they just taken for granted the gift Jesus bestowed upon them? Then Jesus speaks to the father of the demon-possessed son. "All things are possible for one who believes." Again, Jesus is referring to faith here, the lack of faith on the part of the disciples. And then, "All things are possible for one who believes." At the end of the narrative, his disciples question him regarding their inability to do what they had done before. Jesus responds, "This kind can come only by prayer." Jesus wasn't saying that this demon was more difficult for his power to overthrow, for the devil and his demons all bow into submission to Jesus' authority and power. What he was saying to them and to us is that they had lost the connection to the source of the power. They were relying on the gift and ignoring the power behind the gift. From Mark's account of Jesus healing the boy with an evil spirit, we find a simple truth we need to know, and we need to put that in practice. Prayer enlarges our sphere of faith. It causes our faith to grow in light of the revelation of the majesty and glory and power of God we have received in Jesus, and by what we receive by just being in his presence. Our faith then allows us to preach the gospel, use the gifts we have been given to edify and build up the church, and demonstrate signs and wonders to our generation. Prayer is the key to maintaining and demonstrating the power of God in our lives, using his gifts for his glory and his purpose. The disciples had been given authority over all the dark forces of evil in the world, and they demonstrated it, but then they lost it. Did they take for granted that now that they have Jesus' authority, God's power would always dwell with them? They failed to see that it wasn't the gift. It was the power behind the gift. It is God's power and authority displayed through his followers. Followers who walk in faith to believe they can be the conduit for God's supernatural restoration to people, of people and circumstances. And it only happens when we enlarge our sphere of faith, enlarge our capacity to believe, and that only happens when we pray. It comes through honest, earnest intercession with God. A willful act, knowing strongholds cannot be broken without an unabashed, relentless faith to believe in the impossible. Jesus said, "All things are possible for one who believes." May we never take for granted the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit so generously lavished on us, his church. May we never believe God's power is inherent in us, for it is God's power manifested through the Holy Spirit to us to do his work. And it functions only when we pray, developing a keen sense of God's heart, developing a keen ear to hear his voice, and knowing that gifts freely given to us have no value outside of a faith that can move mountains. All things are possible for one who believes. Demonic power has no authority when we believe. Sickness and disease have no authority when we believe. Trauma and debilitation have no authority when we believe. bondages and addictions have no authority when we believe. Death has no terror when we believe. There are no limitations when we believe. And it all begins with prayer. It all begins with prayer. Communing with God changes us. Prayer employs a spirit-driven, supernatural paradigm shift in our lives that cannot be explained this side of heaven. We can't explain it, but it happens in our lives. It builds in us a most holy faith that no bigger than a mustard seed can move mountains, change the unchangeable, and restore to our lives a true sense of hope, peace, and joy in terms inexpressible by human tongue. And it all begins with prayer. It all begins with prayer. Prayer enlarges our faith in Almighty God, in the redemption and grace found in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and in the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our world to bring all to the foot of the cross. Our faith allows us to look beyond our earthly focus and limitations to see and understand what God desires to accomplish through His authority and His power in our lives, through us, His church, to a world desperate for hope. And it all begins with prayer. The Scriptures tell us to pray to our Holy Father, asking for His kingdom to be manifested in us, His supernatural kingdom. We speak to God, developing a personal one-to-one relationship with Him that brings encouragement to our spirit, enlargens and strengthens our faith. Faith to believe beyond our finite minds and existence to the forever kingdom of our God, not bound by time and space and transcending our human understanding. I end with a short passage found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 29 through 37. Verse 29 says, And immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, Hey, everyone's looking for you. But he was praying. Jesus not only spoke and ministered with authority and power, he understood the connection with the Father, and the Holy Spirit was necessary, if not crucial, for the continued ministry of touching broken and hurting humanity with love, compassion, healing, and most of all, forgiveness. His example to us shows the necessity for us to bathe our lives in prayer so that His power and authority can be demonstrated in us and through us. And our faith can grow and be the mandate of our walk with Jesus Christ. Faith allows us to think the unthinkable, believe the unbelievable, do the impossible, look beyond the cosmos to something far grander, and know that all things are possible for one who believes. And it all begins with prayer. Have you noticed that the praying we've been talking about this evening has nothing to do with the changes of our external situations? Nothing. Nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with our external needs. Yes, I know we're in a time of crisis and we're calling out to our God for help and rescue in these moments. And we do serve a God who understands our earthly needs, and He does not have a deaf ear to our cries for help in time of trouble. He hears our cry, and His grace is sufficient for us in time of need. But I want to remind all of us of one thing. God rarely works from the outside in. God works from the inside out. This message from Mark's gospel, from the words of Jesus, is a message of transformation of our lives from the inside out. It doesn't negate the earthly struggles we face or ignore the hurt and pain we go through. But the praying Jesus is referring to takes us to places unseen and to an intimate relationship to God one could only hope for in this life. It takes our faith to a quantum leap level where we trust God with no questions. We trust God with no conditions, and where we have the faith to believe in that which is impossible. And guess what? It all begins with prayer. Amen? Amen, Pastor.
It's a powerful word on prayer for us, and it's one that we need to apply in our lives. And like we did last week, in just a moment when we finish, I'm going to encourage you to take at least 15 minutes and to spend that time with the Lord in prayer, to seek Him, and to make it a time where you're asking Him to just refresh and to restore that relationship and to help you to lift your eyes to where they should be, to renew faith in your life. And what I want to remind you of right now is this, that as a church, we hope for things. We hope for God to move. We ask and pray that God will move. We dream about people coming to Christ, and we pray for that. We long for days when the Lord will do great works among us and through us. And if we come to a point 10 years down the road, 15, 20, 25 years, maybe when we're all in heaven together, and we look back and we're able to say, look at the people who came to Christ. Look at the lives that were touched. Look at the mission that was fulfilled. Look at the people whose lives that were transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Look what God did during that period. Look what God did through Bethany. If anybody says that, if we're able to say that, and anybody asks, well, what did you do? What program did you use? What sermons were preached, or what kind of structure or systems did you put in place? The only thing that we'll really legitimately be able to say is we prayed. We prayed. That will be what fuels the work that God wants to do in our lives, as we've been reminded tonight. That if we can say we prayed, then we can trust and know by faith that God will do what He wants to do. The authority and the gifting has been given by Jesus already, but if we don't seek Him in prayer, if we don't seek the power that fuels that gift and that authority that He's given, then we won't experience it. So I want to encourage you tonight, pray. Join this congregation in praying. Let's make that our battle cry. We prayed. We prayed. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we call out to You and we ask that You'd forgive us for those times when we have been prayerless. Like Your disciples then, sometimes, Lord, our lives are not filled with the kind of prayer they should have. and our relationship with you, it gets stretched thin and we grow distracted sometimes. Lord, forgive us. We ask that you would help us tonight to refocus our attention on you. Lord, renew our hunger for you and let that be expressed in prayer. Lord, I ask that we would be a church that prays constantly, that prays without ceasing, that we'd be seeking you all the time. Lord, I ask that right now we wouldn't be distracted from that. It's a little more difficult, Lord, because we're not able to gather together. Lord, we can't be in the building and be encouraging one another through our presence and by hearing other people pray right now. But I ask that that would not discourage us from seeking you. As Jesus said, could you not stay awake with me for 1 hour and pray? Help us to listen to the call of Christ and say, yes, Lord, we will seek you. We'll follow your example. We will pray and trust that as we do, our faith will grow. Our trust will grow, and our ability to walk with you will grow so that we're able to accomplish your purposes in our lives and in our church. God, grant us the strength, the fortitude, the will to pray. Change our hearts, Lord. When we're distracted, when we're pulled away by other things, change our hearts to want to pray. Sustain us with a willing spirit, Lord. We love you. We thank you for that, believing that you're going to do that. And now, Lord, I pray that for the next 15 minutes, as this congregation seeks you, would you meet them in their homes? Would you bolster their faith, even as they spend a few moments talking to you? Would you let them know that as they're praying, you're listening and you're present with them and you're working among us? We love you, Lord. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to thank Pastor Ken for that word that he shared with us tonight and encourage you, apply it right now. Spend these next few moments, get alone with God. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray. We'll see you again tomorrow night for communion. Until then, go in God's grace and peace.
We hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org.
I see your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. I look up to the sky and say, you're beautiful.
face. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. I see your face. You're beautiful.